Well, I guess some people might want me to ask you about hangover cures tonight for tomorrow morning, but we won't do that. There's actually some interesting news around technology and your health, and this story caught my eye, the fact that Nintendo is actually warning that its new gaming system, which will have a 3D component to it, should not be used by kids under six because it could actually damage their eye development.
That's right. I think people have to think about instances where their children have lazy eyes, or, you know, there's a focus on, well, one eye is not looking at the object, another eye is, and treatments are ranged anywhere from patching the strong eye to get the weak eye to start to pay attention to stimuli to surgery to correct the muscles of the eye so that they look forward. Well, this is sort of the same thing when you think about this. If you have and this happens in children up until about the age of 9 where you can correct this problem. But for TVs that are, in this case, the 3D, I think what they're pointing to is that these particular devices will not allow the children to develop their stereoscopic vision, that is their 3D vision. They will tend to use their more dominant eye, and the other eye will become less functional. And I think that's what they're concerned about in terms of providing this warning. So, you know, I think it's worthwhile to give this warning and also for parents to be aware that, you know, they don't necessarily have to get a 3D game for their children to avoid this problem altogether. But I think that's the mechanism that they're pointing to, Mark, is that it may actually interrupt the children's ability for their eyes to both focus on an object and result in loss of their 3D vision.
The other line in this story that I thought was kind of interesting is that it says, this advice to consumers follows warnings from television manufacturers. Of course, all the 3D TVs are coming out now.
Yeah.
Warnings from television manufacturers that children, pregnant women, and drunk people could experience symptoms from nausea to seizures from watching in 3D.
Yeah, and actually...
So don't drink and watch 3D.
That's right, that's right. So, you know...
I mean, drunk people can experience nausea, you know, just about...
Yeah.
At any time,
and,
let alone
and
whether
the
they're watching 3D.
Pregnant women will have nausea.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So especially if you're pregnant, especially, you know, don't watch it in the morning. Don't watch 3D in the morning.
Right.
Now, there's a couple of other technology stories. There's a new, you know, there's that expression, there's an app for that. There are actually some new apps that that you can put on your iPhone or on the Android platform that is actually like having a doctor with you everywhere you go.
Yeah, I mean, there are limitations to all these things. I think the basic premise of all of this is to provide information on hand for people who have specific medical conditions. They're not really designed to diagnose. They're designed to provide information once a diagnosis has been made. And it's really no different than what people are doing right now when they're online and looking up information. It's just providing it in a different format on their BlackBerry or their iPhone or iPad or whatever smartphone they're using. So it has to be looked at with that caveat. It's not a replacement, but rather can potentially enhance and provide hopefully good information. It depends on where the information is coming from, but provide information on hand so it makes it easier for people to have that and then determine their best course of action. But again, it's the same adage with anything, Mark. It's garbage in, garbage out. So it really depends on the information that's in there rather than how cute the app looks like.
Right. And it's obviously, and I wouldn't expect you to say otherwise, but it's obviously not going to replace your family doctor.
Well, in the same way that any app would not replace your electrician or your lawyer or anybody else. It's an enhancement. It provides you with information, but it doesn't replace the clinical experience necessary to make diagnoses.
Now, there's also a new iPhone app that allows you to lose weight, and there are, you know, all kinds of technologies that are available now that, you know, check your calorie counts. They encourage you to use healthy food. And so there's a whole bunch of things that are available like that as well.
Yeah, I mean, those are okay. You have to use them. But, you know, you're not going to have your iPhone scream at you with this video camera once you grab that chocolate bar to say, stop eating the chocolate bar.
Right.
So it's again, how diligent someone is in using this. Up front, it looks great because, you know, it has all the stuff that you need to be able to help you to stop smoking. But at the same time, you have to use it consistently. And if you're not able to use it consistently, it's, again, only going to be as good as your ability to employ it on a regular basis.
Barry, thank you. Happy New Year to you.
You're welcome, Mark. And if I can add one thing just about the injectable drugs and stuff.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Whether or not they should be giving out needles and heroin to prison inmates.
Exactly. You don't have to use needles and you don't have to use heroin. You can use any narcotic and it'll do the same thing. So this is why I'm looking. And so the whole issue of using needles and preventing infection, you have a captive population. You can provide narcotics in pill form and do exactly the same thing without having to worry about then spreading disease all over the prison.
And then make it something that you're able to manage and gradually reduce the access to it.
Absolutely.
Okay, Barry, thank you.
You're welcome, Mark. Have a great New Year.
You too. Happy New Year to you.